In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Mary of Magdala is one of the great justification figures in the New Testament. We dip today into those mysterious words of our text, because we certainly shan't exhaust all their mystery. Those words translated here, "Don't cling to me." That's a much better translation than the old King James, "Don't touch me," which is really misleading. The old Latin, "Noli me tangere," that famous phrase. What is our Lord saying? Don't hold on to me. I haven't ascended yet. But go and tell, and so on. In these very deep words, which I'm sure Mary did not understand at that point fully. I mean, she understood the prohibition all right. But what could that mean? She was accustomed to the kind of thing where she could have held on to him. The text, which traditionally is the Gospel for St. Mary of Magdala, is St. Luke 7, which doesn't name that woman, but that's the identification the Church has traditionally made. That woman who comes up to the Lord while he's having dinner at a very prominent Pharisee's house, Simon. And now all that self-righteous company is shocked to the bone when there comes this disreputable woman and begins to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair. It looks rather unsavory to these self-important, pompous bubbles, and they grumble. If he knew what kind of a woman that is was touching him, he can't be really much of a prophet. And then the Lord says, "Simon, I've got something to tell you." And you know the famous story. A man has two debtors, one owed him a lot and the other a little. And so neither could pay, and the creditor forgave them both. Which one do you suppose would love him the more? "Well, I suppose," he said, "the one to whom he forgave them all." "Very well, you see that woman? You never greeted me with a kiss. Simon, you were barely polite to me. You didn't even offer to wash my feet, which is a normal thing to do to welcome a guest. She, since I came in, hasn't ceased to anoint, to wash my feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. You see, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much." You see the justification lesson? This does not mean she is forgiven a lot on the basis of the fact that she loves a lot. The more you love, the more you get forgiven. No, not that. But as a story which the Lord told Simon on that occasion proved, she loves a lot. That's a sign, a sure token. She's been forgiven a lot. As a result, she loves a lot, you see. What a marvelous exemplification Mary there is of justification. Justification is not because of our love and service. Our love and service is the result of being forgiven. And then the Lord says, "Go, your faith has made you whole." Perhaps it is that which comes to her mind now, when the Lord says, "Don't hold on to me." There it was all right to hold on to his feet and wash them with her tears and dry them, but the time for that is gone. There is a new mode of communion with Jesus, a new and better mode. You know, St. Paul writes in the second letter to the Corinthians that even though we knew the Lord according to the flesh before, we don't know him in that way before. Even those who were humanly closest to him, who lived and walked with him for 3 years, who were on the most intimate terms, they no longer know him in that way. Is that a loss? It seemed a loss. It seemed a loss because, remember, when the Lord says to these people who are listening to him and not aware of the privilege they have, when the Lord says to them, blessed are the eyes that see what you see, and the ears that hear what you hear. Because I tell you, there are many kings and prophets in the past who long to hear that and long to see it. They sort of smelt it from afar, but they could never be close. In your eyes, in your ears, it's been fulfilled. And now it seems that blessing is taken away. No, it is deepened. Because to that blessing, which is still ours, there comes another blessing added, to which this pericope of ours is an introduction. Because later in that same chapter, the Lord says to Thomas, on that same day, rather the following week, but in consequence of the appearance of that day, then the next, the Sunday after Easter, Thomas, you believe because you have seen. Blessed are they, you see. Second blessing. Blessed are they which have not seen in that way, who cannot hold on in that way, but who have nevertheless believed. The Gospel pericope, standard Gospel for Mary Magdalene, shows us the fruit of justification, that to be justified, to be forgiven by God, means as a result, as a source then, the source of that is, for that, now as a result, out of that flow, love and service to God and man. But today's pericope points not to the result, the fruit of justification, but now we are pointed to the very thought. Mary doesn't understand that yet at the moment, but she will. Because having become a witness to the resurrection, now she stands at the very foundation, at the very source of that by which we live and are forgiven and have life eternal. This is not a mere fruit. This is not some sort of result, some great mystical experience. Mary did not have a mystical experience at the tomb. She had an objective encounter with the living Lord, with him who is the resurrection and the life. How is it that she doesn't recognize him? Our people say she was bleary-eyed because of her tears. Well, that's not the real reason. Because the disciple that, on the way to Emmaus, also didn't see him, and they were not bleary-eyed. There's something more here indicated than the psychology of grieving or something like that. There is a theological mystery, and that is that from now on, it doesn't matter what you see, what you touch, what you experience, what matters is the word. The Lord touches us and holds on to us by his word and sacrament. That's how it happens. And so in the breaking of the bread, that's when they recognize him. And here it is by the word, Mary. When he reveals himself, then her eyes are opened. Rabboni, she says. And now, that's only an introduction to the later part of the pericope. Here we read in the first letter of St. John that just as Jesus came by water and blood, that is by baptism and by his death on the cross, not by just one or the other, both. In life and in death, he is God and man, the Logos made flesh. So now there are three that bear record, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are one. They come to the same thing. That, you see, is the real reason. That is the new mode. It's not that now we can no longer have hold of Jesus. Now we have left. No, the other way around. Now in this wonderful living absolution, which forgives our sins, and in the Eucharist of his risen body and blood, and in our baptism whereby we share that, no longer do we hold on to him, but from now on, he holds on to us. This is the concrete Here it becomes concrete. The Old Testament general word, underneath, are the everlasting arms. These are the arms now. He who ascended to his God and our God, his Father and our Father. Not in the same sense. He by nature, says Augustine, we by grace, we by adoption. One learned but silly commentator writes about the later part of the text, there's nothing there about the apostles being given the right to forgive sins. They only were given the right to announce that. Well, what's the difference? If you convey the words of him whose words are spirit and are life, you are thereby forgiving it. So, he from now on holds on to us. And there's enough there for Mary and for us. There follow the words of institution, of the public service of forgiveness, the public service to which you are aspiring and in which some serve and some are going to serve. But you see, Mary doesn't have to become an ordained apostle to enjoy what she has. She is free now to serve the resurrected one and to continue to lavish her love flowing from his forgiveness upon the least of these, his brothers. For whatever we do to the least of these, we have done to his brothers. And she becomes a great example to all of us in faith, whether we are public ministers, servants of that or not, makes no difference, that all life comes from him. And from now on, it is he, the resurrected, who firmly holds on to us, so that the very gates of hell shall not prevail against us, and that no one shall be able to pluck us out of his hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.